Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
You can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino, excitement, bet on it. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. In this next half-hour block, we'll also have the Oilers Now Prospect Report for Scott Arthur Millwork. To the Ashley Fine Floors text line, this text comes in saying, Bob, you cannot replace the wisdom DK brings to the team. If he wants to play one more season, sign him. If not, hire him as a development coordinator. Well, I'm a big fan of guys nicknamed DK. And I will tell you, you don't have to sign him. He's under contract for one more season. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. James from the Hood says, if Keith retires, could the Oilers not sign Kulik to play second pairing and then have Broberg play in the third pairing? They'd have a lot more cap space and hopefully be able to sign Evander Kane. Don't know why Ken Holland's given him more time, as it's running out to make deals. I hope they find a taker for Cassian, even if we have to eat the money. It's better than buying him out. We have too many buyouts already. Your thoughts from James in the Hood. I can see Cassian being traded, and I don't see at this point it necessarily. Well, let's put it this way. The better the pick, the less likely it is that you have to retain some money on the deal. That's what I'd say on Zach Cassian, but I could foresee a scenario where that ends up occurring. This text comes in from Ryan out of Stoney. He says, Bob, Keith retiring would be a cap hit. He clearly doesn't have the ability to live up to a $5.5 million cap hit. I'd do everything I could to get Josh Manson with that money. He would fill out our need for a legit top four D-man. Goal prevention is priority number one. I think Josh Manson's going back to Tampa Bay and another guy, or to Anaheim. Another guy that was in Anaheim at one time in his career, and like Manson, got traded to Colorado, has just re-signed there. Andrew Cogliano, friend of the show, has signed a one-year deal at $1.125 million. So there you have it. He's going to go back to Colorado. I may have said that the Oilers, if I did, I apologize. The Oilers do have their own number one pick. It's 29th overall in this draft. Mark Spector re-engages right now on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Spec, people are pumped up. They're loving the appearance today, and not everybody's out there hating you. So look at it that way. You do have some people that agree with you.
Well, that's good. We should also throw a little love to down Mike Greer's way, Bob. Former Oiler becomes general manager in San Jose, the first black general manager in the history of the NHL, and got to be the first guy who ever had a brother that was a GM in the NFL, wouldn't you say that?
Oh, yeah. That's a, it's, wow. That's a, and, of course,
story.
Bobby Greer was one of the, his father was one of the first player, black player personnel men in the National Football League as well. So great stuff for Mike Greer. We're not going to bug him in the next couple of weeks. We'll try to get him on after they get out of their development camp. Obviously, right now, it's like he's got a lot going on. He's got the draft and he's got free agency. This is where I tell you, this is where I tell you that Brian Lawton was interviewing for, Brian Lawton was definitely on the radar screen for San Jose. We know that Ray Whitney was as well. We heard Scott Mellamy's name out there, but Brian Lawton was in the mix for that position as well. All right, Spec, you brought up Evander Kane. Hearing anything at all on that front?
No, and it's nothing's changed because no one knows what you can do. Like, he's an unsignable player. First of all, it's the UFA season doesn't open until the 13th. But unless between the draft and the 13th, and the NHL comes out with some kind of ruling, I'm not sure that Dan Milstein, his agent, would have any idea how to sign his player and for what and, you know, with whom. I think that the league has really working over Evander Kane in this situation by not having settled this arbitration over the $22 million that he feels the San Jose Sharks owe him. They're not settling it before July 13th. And to me, Bob, I think that
I know why they're doing that.
They're killing him. They're crushing him.
What they're hoping happens is that somebody steps up and gives him a 3 or 4 year offer that starts with a 7, and that he drops his grievance that he has filed. That's what they're
hoping. Why would he drop it?
because he's going to get the contract either way, the money either way for the.
So you're saying that let's say a team A says, okay, Evander, we'll sign you a 3-year, $21 million deal, but we're not signing it until you clear this thing up with San Jose. And right. Then he turns around and says, I'll drop the thing with San Jose. That's what you're telling
now,
me.
Now, if I'm Dan Milstein, his agent, I'm hoping to get a 4 or 5 year deal at $7 million. I don't know if that's feasible, but I will give you a team that makes sense, Washington. I know they were interested before. And there is a chance that they're going to have a significant player or two out for a while. Alexander Ovechkin could be pretty compelling if he calls. I could see Washington being a team that would be on Evander Kane's radar screen.
And I suggest to you after his performance in Edmonton that Washington is not alone. There's a lot of teams that are lining up for this guy.
It couldn't have gone much better, really. The guy had 35 goals in 58 games.
Right, but I also understand pretty clearly that Evander Kane and Dan Milstein feel like they are owed $22 million by the San Jose Sharks, and they're not walking away from it.
Yeah,
I do not foresee a situation. I could see them making a deal. I could see them meeting the Sharks somewhere around halfway or something like that. I do not foresee a deal, a situation, Bob, where Milstein and Kane just say, forget it, we'll walk away and sign a new deal. I do not see that happening.
I'm going to credit the source. Paul Almeida has reached out to me via Twitter. He just says, just for you know what's in giggles, Bob, I'm going to give you two players. I'm not going to tell you who the players are, so spec, here we go. One player has played 252 games with the Oilers. He had 50 goals and 111 points. The other player played 259 games as an Oiler, 46 goals, 98 points. So player A was more productive than player B, despite playing fewer games.
Okay.
Player A was traded to St. Louis for a third-round draft choice by Pete Chiarelli. Do you know who player A was? Nail Yakupov.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And player B is Jesse Puljujärvi.
Okay.
Paul's point is that Yakupov is actually more productive than Puljujärvi as an Oilers player, and I don't recall there being this much consternation. I don't know.
The markets were the same, though, in many ways. Like, there's two things about Yakupov. Yakupov ran his course here, too.
Yeah.
He wanted out. The Oilers had seen enough. It was just time. Sometimes these things happen, Bob. We all know it.
Yeah.
So they went out in the market, and the market looked at Nail Yakupov, and I know I'm not here to say Pete Chiarelli sets the market because I saw some of his trades and I saw a couple of his signings and I get what Oilers fans are about to think here. But the market dictated that Nail Yakupov was only worth about a third round pick. And you know what? The market was right because he went to St. Louis and it just spiraled downhill from there. Yeah. I'm not predicting that for Jesse Puljujärvi. But I am predicting that the market isn't knocking Ken Holland's socks off. 2 years ago when he was in Ulu Karpat, they couldn't get a first-round pick for him, so Holland wisely hung on.
I think they'll be getting a player, Mark.
Because there's no proper offer on the table.
I think they'll be getting a player, Mark. That's what I'll say right now. I don't think it's going to be a pick. I could be wrong.
But I don't think it'll be a pick either. I think it'll be a player.
Okay.
And I think Ken Holland wants to trade this asset for any type of pick that's not going to be there. But I also will evaluate to you, Bob, that in terms of what is Puljujärvi's value on the market right now, if it were a pick, it would be a second-round pick or a very, very high, like a 28th, 29th, 30th first-round pick.
Mark, you got any
overall for him?
You got any hesitation at all on Jack Campbell? He seems to be the guy most linked to Edmonton, represented by Kurt Overhart. Who some have jokingly referred to over the years as Kurt Overcharge, gets good deals. How about in 5 minutes? Any hesitation on Jack Campbell being a target for Edmonton?
No, not at all. You have to look at the goalie market. It's not a very good one, Bob. So what do we know? We know let's all go under the assumption Mike Smith's not coming back next year. So we know the Oilers need a number one goalie. They need a guy that can bring Stuart Skinner along and take the pressure off that young player and leave him as a backup. So who's out there? Well, not many guys, Bob, that we like. Right? Not many guys that I'm looking at and saying, Braden Holtby, no thanks. Right? Guys like, I'm looking at Ville Husso. sure, I'd take a look at Ville Husso, but what's the market going to dictate for him? He's the hot UFA guy, and then there's Jack Campbell. And at least we know Ville Husso has played, I think, what's the number, Bob? Is it 64 games in his career?
Yep, not a lot.
No, the sample is very small. Behind a stout defensive team in the St. Louis Blues. You know, I'm looking at Jack Campbell, who was a pretty good goalie behind a pretty wide-open team in Toronto. And the other thing I'll say is he has dealt with – there may not be a higher pressure position in the National Hockey League than being the goalie of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's dealt with that. He's experienced that. It's only going to get easier wherever he comes. I don't mind Jack Campbell in goal for him in the next year.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this ultimately plays out. I do think that there's – I've said all along, Mark, I believe the Oilers are going to end up with more cap space than people realize. I'm going to stand by. I'm going to stand by that. Okay.
And what do you think of these trades? Do they have to happen before the draft, or do they not have to happen before the draft?
They don't have to. No, nothing has to happen before the draft. But you got to have a pretty clear idea of where you're at by the 11th, 12th, or 13th of July.
Well, what did Ken Tolan do last year? Remember, he waited to see what he got in free agency, right? If I'm not mistaken, he went into the summer before he traded Ethan Bear. He made sure that he had Cody Ceci, right, and that he'd re-signed Tyson Barry. So, you know, I mean, I know that there's how many top six players do the Oilers have? I'm going to say four. I'm going to say that obviously they're two centermen, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Zach Hyman. They're right now standing with four legit top six guys.
Yamamoto had a 20-goal, 40-point season. That's a top six guy in the NHL.
Okay, so let's throw, if you put Yamamoto in as a no-doubter in your top six, you got five already. So, you know, I mean, again, I think Daniel wrote this the other day, and we've talked about this. Maybe, you know, maybe they're hanging on to Puljujärvi to make sure they can get another top six guy. I'm not sure, right? I'm not sure.
Time will tell. Mark, I got news for you. With the breaking news with Andrew Cogliano signing an extension with the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche, we're gonna cut this a little short. Is that cool? Because we're gonna get him on at 1:20.
Oh, awesome! Yeah. Get Cogs on for sure. Say hi to him for me, Bobby.
Talk to you on Friday, Spec.
All right.
That is Mark Spector, Sportsnet Spec for the horses in horse racing Alberta. The 7,000 men and women employed in the horse racing industry. Live thoroughbred racing Friday and Saturday at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. Parking and admission are free. For more information, head to thehorses.com. We will also tell you all season long, the Oilers Now Injury Report is presented by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. James H. Brown, it's this simple. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang of James H. Brown, they're the best. When we come back, Stanley Cup champion, former Edmonton Oiler, Andrew Cogliano. You're listening to Oilers Now. We are going to head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline and be joined by a former first-round pick of the Edmonton Oilers, an NHL Ironman who won his first Stanley Cup just in the last 10 days or so, and today has signed a contract extension with the Colorado Avalanche. We welcome back to the show Andrew Cogliano. Andrew, how you doing?
What's going on, Bobby?
Stanley Cup champion. How does that sound?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Couldn't get any better than that, right?
Yeah, obviously, once you get moved from San Jose to Colorado, you know you got a puncher's chance to make that happen, right?
Yeah, obviously, I think, you're in a situation where you're playing on a team that wasn't making the playoffs, and I got an opportunity to go to a team with a legit chance, and when I got there, I even realized it was probably even more of a chance by seeing how the team played and the guys and the culture they had there, and at the end of the day, it worked out perfectly, so, you couldn't have drawn it up much better for myself.
Over 1,100 games played in the National Hockey League. You've been at this a while. And for me, the two guys I like Joe Sakic, I'll be honest. I always liked Joe when he played. Hard to believe, Andrew, there were people in the Western Hockey League that weren't sure he was going to be a player when he first went in a Swift Current. That's how draconian the league was at that time. But for you and Chris McFarland, those were two of the guys I was happiest for. What was it like when they handed you that? I think you got the cup third, is that right? Eric Johnson got it before you, and then they gave it to you. That had to have been an incredible moment.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, it's tough to describe. You know, I thought I'd be a little bit more emotional, to be honest. You know, it feels like I felt like I would be getting, I'd get emotional when just thinking about the opportunity to have that chance and kind of playing that over my head and even before it happened. And at the time, I don't know, it was just like you were kind of just stuck in the moment. It didn't really feel real. I don't know. When I, you know, Nate told me I'd get a third, and it almost was like you just wanted to rush it and get it as soon as possible and lift it. And I just think so much goes into it, right? So many years, so much thinking really about it, and preparing and all the stuff that all of us hockey players do to get to that point. So I'd say in the moment, it just wasn't really real until kind of, you know, you start thinking about things right now.
Yeah. You had your game face on during the series, eh? Blown off your buddies on text.
Well, you are serious. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know what? I don't know. I found a different, I think through this whole playoffs, I really wanted to be in the moment all the time. I actually was proud of myself. I think there was times, you know, I've been through playoff games, I've been through playoff series, and I think a lot of times, sometimes you get caught up in a lot of the stuff going, you know, you win a game, people text you, they think you win the series. You score a goal, people text you because, you know, they think you're, you know, a world beater. But I just was really stuck in the moment personally, and I didn't really get caught up in any of what was going on and wins, losses, how I played, how I didn't play. I just really focused on kind of the next game, the next shift, and stuck in the moment. And honestly, for me, it really worked. I think I opened my eyes to, you know, myself mentally and how, you know, kind of finding a new level, you know, strength-wise.
Andrew Cogliano, former Edmonton Oilers, Stanley Cup champion with the Colorado Avalanche. Well, you did send me a flattering text back because you inferred that I was management. So, and nobody in Edmonton wants to hear that right now. So
I did. That is the truth.
Yes. So, hey, you did play the Oilers. It was kind of crazy to see Draisaitl do what he did during the course of the playoffs. You guys were the better team. That's just the you had the best team. You went 16-4. This is the best playoff run a team has had since the 1988 Oilers, which still at that point had six of their seven Hall of Famers. It was after Paul Coffey was traded, but they still had the other six Hall of Famers on it. I mean, you guys were on a special team, man, weren't you?
I think that's the bottom line. Honestly, I think we just had a really good team. I think the coaching staff did a phenomenal job. We had a rock solid game plan from day one for each series that, you know, I really felt confident that if we executed the game plan, we really had a chance to win every night. And, you know, I just thought that to a man, I thought each guy, you know, brought their best and, you know, it honestly just felt like, it really felt like when we got into games and we started rolling and we really kind of played to our game and to our pace that, you know, we just, at sometimes we were unstoppable, to be honest. You know, I think that was just the honest feeling. And when you have that feeling as a team and you start getting that confidence, it's just really tough to beat. And let's call a spade a spade. You know, we have Kale, who's just on another level. You know, we have Cale Makar, who's, you know, he controls the entire game out there. Simple as that, offensively and defensively, you know. And when you have, you know, Nate and Miko and Landy and, you know, these players up front, Nas, and they're just very good hockey players, to be honest. So it's easy for guys like myself. It's easy for guys that are depth guys to really follow suit because those guys drive the play.
Andrew, I saw Chris McFarland 2017 in Nashville. Colorado was horrendous that year, and he said to me, "Stoff, we are going to commit to speed throughout our lineup, and if you guys don't watch it, you're going to build too slow of a team." And he was right. The Oilers missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, 17, 18, 18, 19. And I think if you playing with Helman O'Connor, the pace that you guys had, you know, Newhook when he was in there, you guys are further down out of the top six. And that was the relentlessness that you guys could play with. And that's kind of what you're alluding to. But nobody else at the end of the day could match that. And then we got to circle back. Have you ever seen a defenseman and you've been in the league now for 15 years? Have you ever seen a defenseman capable of doing what Cale does?
No. I think how he approaches a game. You know, I saw it in practice, the first practice I was there. You know, it just how he passes the puck, how he moves. his pace of play. You know, it really is on another level, you know, and it was funny. It was against you guys. And I can't remember what game it was, but it was in your building. And he made a couple moves to the neutral zone, juked a couple guys and whipped this pass. And it was just, you know, it was a rocket pass and it was right on my backhand. And I fumbled the thing, you know, into the zone. And he came up to me and goes, sorry about the pass. And in my head, I'm going, that's not your fault. You know, like that was like one of the best passes I've taken in terms of speed and like just on my tape. I mishandled it, you know, but that's like, he just plays with a different intensity. And I don't know, I the fire you see in his eyes, the drive with how he prepares before the game. And, you know, when you have a guy like that, that's sitting in the room and you don't really talk to and he's by himself and, you know, you could tell he's dialed in for the game and it's very scary. And for the caller, for our organization, for our team, you know, like those guys that everyone involves got to just be thrilled. And really, he's going to be like that for a long time.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for doing this on short notice and congratulations on making the easiest decision possible alive in signing that extension with the Avs. We'll see you next fall, okay?
Thanks, Bob. See ya.
There you go. That is Stanley Cup champion Andrew Cogliano. It is 128 in Edmonton. And at this time, do we have time to get to it? We do. So let's do it. For all the rich kids that never got the chance, the Oilers Now Prospect Report is brought to you by Scott Arthur Millwork. Custom cabinetry, luxury closets, exceptional millwork. Visit ScottArthurMillwork.com today. Here's Brendan Escott.
Well, the draft goes this Thursday from Montreal. The Oilers, as you know, hold the 29th pick overall. Craig Button's final mock draft is in. And with the first overall pick, the Montreal Canadiens still expected to make Shane Wright that number one overall selection in front of the home fans. That despite Bob McKenzie ranking Juraj Slafkovský higher than Wright in his final rankings. Button has the Oilers taking Bob's man, Reid Schaefer, out of the Seattle Thunderbirds. If they keep this first round pick, he had 32 goals, 58 points in 66 games played while helping Seattle to the WHL final. His NHL comparable listed as Alex Tuck. I thought he was a little angrier than Alex Tuck, Bob.
Alex Tuck's a hell of a player, though. Like, if he has the high-end offense that Tuck has, that's a pretty good player. All right. Special thanks again to Andrew Cogliano for doing that on short notice. That's Brendan Escott with the Oilers Now Prospect Report. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Hart Levine coming up from Puckpedia and Oilers Now when we return.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.